Great to see you guys and be here, and I want to apologize on the front end for my voice. It's a little off here. I've been a little lung stuff here the last week or so that we're battling. Lord help. But we're going to dive in. We get to talk about something really fun, one of the things that I love to talk about, and one of the things that has been a life changer for me, really, personally. So I'll share some personal stories also, but let's just give this time to the Lord. Lord, thank you for your goodness. Thank you for worship. Thank you that we get to really adore you and bless you and thank you and remember all you've done for us. Thank you for your goodness to us, God. And thank you, Holy Spirit, that you are here. Thank you that you help, that you are the helper. Thank you for living on the inside of us, for doing what we can't do. Lord, I thank you for every life, and even as Andrew just said, Lord, for every journey that got everyone to this room, Lord, throughout history, how you've really woven our paths together, Lord, to even bring us here. Lord, thank you. I ask that you'd speak, that you would clarify, that you would bring to light and bring to life all the things that you want on the inside of us. We love you. We invite your presence in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So thankful for the scriptures. Oh my goodness. I mean, these things are alive. I don't know if you realize that. It's alive. You can read the same thing 100 times. And on that 101st or whatever it is, it's like you see something you've never seen before. It's brand new. And without this, we don't have clarity for life. I mean, the Holy Spirit so uses his word to bring us clarity and to show us what's real and what's true and what's lies. That we need his word. I'm so grateful for the word. And we'll be going as we always bring out lots of word each Sunday. But I want to focus today on, as has been mentioned several times, on hearing God's voice. Also, thank you, Lord, for these painters. Isn't that great? I mean, if you see some of the things that they do, it's really remarkable, especially in the time frame that they do it during worship. It's just life-giving, and it's meant to inspire and cause us it's worship in a different way. So anyway, I really appreciate our arts ministry here that Amy Cruz leads and the ladies and the guys who help out. All right. You know, one of the most foundational, fundamental things happens when you and I receive Jesus, when we say yes to him and we give him our life, we give him our hearts, and we choose to follow him, you realize that it's not just about following someone different than you used to follow or living in a certain way that may be a slightly different than the way you used to live. This life of being what Jesus said, being born again, being renewed, is much more than following a new set of rules. It's much more than having an upgrade, even. It is a life that is intended to be one that can hear from God personally, communicate with him, and hear what he's saying, things we never could do before. Talking to God, listening to God, something coming alive on the inside that never was before, and then him obviously filling us, leading us from the inside, speaking to us. It's a completely different life. If life from the moment we received Jesus, chose him, was just new rules, then we were missing out. We don't have that fullness that God has intended for us. We are supposed to be having this vibrant, living communication with the living God. That changes everything. And when I met the Lord, when I was 7, I didn't realize what I just said. I didn't realize that that was part of the deal for me, that I get to listen and hear God speak. Even though I grew up in a Christian home and had wonderful teaching, access to the scriptures, I went to church, there were a lot of things that I didn't understand related to God communicating, a lot of things I still don't understand. But especially then, I didn't understand that this was an interactive relationship, and that I could hear God as a 7-year-old. I don't know that anybody told me that necessarily. I had to discover that. But this is it's a new life. 1 John 1, verse 3 and 4 says this, "What we have seen and heard, we proclaim to you also, so that you too may have fellowship with us." John is saying this. "And indeed, our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. These things we write so that your joy will be made complete." You will have complete joy when you realize that your fellowship is with the Father and the Son. There's joy that comes that this is about fellowship with God, not just following God. We want to follow him too. But the fellowship aspect, the relational aspect, the enjoying him causes life to have new color and vibrancy and expectation and joy. It changes everything. There are many, if not most, I would say, believers, particularly in the West, that don't have a vibrant relationship with God himself. They might align themselves with new principles and godly principles, or try and make a request and pray one direction, but not listening, not hearing, not being led on this fantastic journey with the God who created us. And we all want to, man, well, I want to have that. And so part of my journey was discovering some of this as well, which has changed my life, to be honest. Jesus said this also in John chapter 10, 27. He said, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." My sheep hear my voice. It's a done deal. My sheep, they can hear me. "And I know them, and they follow me." That's a promise from Jesus that every person, if you consider yourself a sheep of Jesus, a follower of Jesus, one that has been changed on the inside, guess what we get in this deal? We get to hear God. We can hear his voice. If there's a question in your mind, "I'm not sure I can hear him," then you need to take that question and take a sledgehammer to it. Because if there's doubt there, what it is, it's a lie that's believed and that's not true. You can hear God. Jesus said it. If you're a follower of his, followers get his voice. Followers get to hear him. So on a daily basis, you and I almost have to do battle with anything that is doubt related, associated with not being able to hear God. Because you were made to hear him. You were hand formed to hear him. You were created to hear him. And God is the author of all communication. Did I see he started this? He's the author of communication. He really knows how to communicate. And he will communicate in ways so different than just the ways that we speak and just the ways that we communicate. He'll use those too. But we're talking about God. He can do anything. He communicates, someone said that nature is his second book. He communicates through what he's created through nature. I hear him speak often when I see what he's made. It's a form of his communication. It's not to worship that thing. I'm not talking about that at all. But we're talking about the creator, and he communicates through what he makes, just like they're communicating through their paintings. Or if you're a creative person, you create something. Part of what you create is a communication as well, right? Just like an airplane was created to fly in the air, which is incredible. Bless you. Just as an airplane was created to fly, you and I were created to hear God speak and to communicate with him. You and I were made in his image. I'm saying things you already know, but I'm repeating them because I need reminders like this as well. If I am going through life and this is not fresh to me, then I will probably not be listening for and expectant of God speaking to me. So these things are important. You were made to communicate with God. Go ahead and say that to yourself. I was made to communicate with the living God. I was made to hear his voice. So there's this adventure that we are called to walk in with God. But there's a couple things that have to happen. One of them is that we have to be convinced, because everything is by faith, and to see his reality, you have to believe. So we have to be convinced that he speaks, first off, that he speaks to me, secondly, and that I can hear him. You've got to believe that. If you don't believe any of those three, then guess what? You've just got your own voice and other people's voices, and it is a life that's going to be just like the weight of the law trying to eke out righteousness apart from the Spirit of God, and that is a lousy way to live. That's way below what we are called to live. We're called to communicate with him. So if we're convinced, though, that he speaks to me, Jesus said it, that I can hear him, he said that too, and that he wants to speak to me, there's another part, that he desires to speak to me personally, not just to someone else, not just to my wife or to someone who's maybe more righteous or holier than me or whatever that I feel like maybe they're better at hearing. Not just for them, but he wants to speak to me. I have to make it personal. He wants to speak to me. I'm his child. I mean, every one of my children I want to talk to. If some listen more than others, that doesn't mean I don't want to speak to the other ones. Right? I desire to speak to all of them. God desires to speak to all of his kids. Speaking of my children, when my wife was pregnant with all of them, you know, that belly would grow. As the babies grow on the inside, then you start feeling the hand and the elbow and all that stuff going across the front. And I would talk to these kids. Excuse me. I would speak to them. I'd say things to them. I'd prophesy over them. I'd tell them I'm looking forward to meeting them. And I'm imagining what they might look like. I was never right. But you imagine these things. And I talk to them. And inside of the womb, under the skin and the muscle, and inside the bag of waters that they're floating in, there's a lot of insulation between their ears and my voice, and I don't know what they heard. Plus, their brain is still, everything's being developed on the inside of there, but I'm certain that they heard my voice to some degree, but it was probably gargled. It was muffled, it was gargled because of all the stuff in between. And then when they came out and they could see me, and then they could hear my voice, things became clear. This is so similar. You know, the Bible says that first the natural and then the spiritual. And this is a picture also of you and I. Before you were born again, you were probably hearing God's voice even then, but it was garbled. Probably. You just couldn't hear it clearly. You didn't maybe even believe. But I'm telling you what, he was talking. Just like I was talking to my kids, whether they remember it or recognize it or not, I was. God has been speaking to you your entire life, even before you were born again, because it's his nature to communicate, to speak, to show us things. And then once you become born again, it's like your eyes open up. You are born out, that the insulation goes away, and all of a sudden it's, whoa. I can see colors like I've never seen colors for the first time. Have you guys maybe had that experience when you met the Lord? I've heard people say when they met the Lord, they didn't realize the vibrant colors that were in the earth. Their sight changed. Their awareness of spiritual things just was more acute. And that is the way it really is supposed to be, that things change. Once you're born again, you now get to hear his voice clearly. But oftentimes we're not taught, we don't understand the ways that God speaks. And so we can maybe put them in a category of that's just me, or that's just nothing, or I can't imagine that, whatever. No, he only speaks through his word. And this is sometimes churches teach this as well. that the only way that God speaks is through his word and maybe a pastor. That's kind of the way also that I grew up. So that now, he does speak through his word. In 2 Peter, it says this is the more sure word of prophecy. This is the more sure way that he communicates is through the Bible. But he doesn't just limit himself to his word. He speaks. It's like I don't just limit myself to talking to my wife through letters. Imagine if that was the only way that I communicated with her. Right? And we're talking about the living God, who's the author of communication, who wants a personal relationship. And Jesus is saying in Matthew chapter 7 that it's not just those who do miracles and signs and wonders, but it's those who know him. Right? He's really interested in a relationship. He's really interested in a relationship. Isaiah 50 verse 4 says that he awakens my ear to listen as a disciple, as a follower of his. He awakens my ear. And I believe that's part of what he wants to do today, what he's been wanting to do in your life from the moment you met him, is to awaken your ear, to awaken my ear, to hear him as a follower of his. If your ear is awakened, you hear things that maybe you couldn't hear before. My wife and I, oftentimes we do this. We'll be in a restaurant or somewhere, and there's music playing. I don't hear it. And she'll start talking about the song that's being played. And it is as if she's speaking, I don't know what she's talking about, because she's hearing things that I was not paying attention to. I just wasn't paying attention. She can listen to like three different things at once. Like when we're in a restaurant, she knows what's going on in the conversation over at that table, and ours, and what song is playing. It makes no sense to me. I'm one at a time, barely. You know, she can hear, she's listening. Her ear is awakened to hear several things. Now, spiritually, I need that. To be awakened to hear what God is saying, because he's saying things. He communicates. Listen, he's not silent. He's talking. He's leading, he's guiding, he's nurturing, he's comforting. He's revealing truth. So part of the quest of our lives is to pursue him and to identify the ways that he speaks. It's an adventure. Christianity is an adventure and a romance. It's not following rules. That is not the highest thing. It's an adventure and a romance with the living God. And as our ears are awakened to hear him, it's like life just gets better and better. You have no idea what he's going to say next, what he's going to do next, what he's going to show you next. The revelation, I think that for however long, many years, we don't know, after he created Adam and Eve, how long was it that God was just showing them stuff that he made? I mean, this just for really a really quick rabbit trail. So God gave Adam and Eve dominion over all the earth, and they named all the animals, including fish and birds. How do you name fish that you've never seen before? Okay, I'll just leave it right at that. So I think there was a lot of adventure with God, with his kids, and a lot of communication to do the things that we have written in a few verses. There's a lot inside of there. Okay, I'll come back. Right? God's a communicator is what I'm saying. Let's turn to 1 Samuel chapter 3. First Samuel 3, of course, you know the background to the story. Just in brief, Samuel's mom is named Hannah. She couldn't have children. She prayed, asked God for a child, said of her own volition that I will give this child to you if you give him to me. I'll present him back to you, which she did. She had a son named Samuel. She presents him to Eli at the temple. And he begins to serve the Lord and get raised in the temple as basically a priest. And so in chapter 3, verse 1, It says, now the boy, Samuel, was ministering to the Lord before Eli, who was the priest, and word from the Lord was rare in those days. Visions were infrequent. It's not that way now, by the way. Verse 2, and it happened at that time, as Eli was lying down in his place, now his eyesight had begun to grow dim, and he could not see well, and the lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was lying down in the temple of the Lord where the ark of God was. I'm going to go ahead and put up that first slide, Brandon. This shows a little bit of what the temple may have looked like. You got a high priest in there, the Ark of the Covenant there in the middle. And then go ahead and do the second one as well. So Samuel's lying in the temple of the Lord, sleeping close to where the Ark of God was. The Ark representing the presence of God. Samuel sleeping in the temple close to where the presence of God is. Verse 4, that the Lord called Samuel, and he said to him, here I am. And he ran to Eli and said, here I am, for you called me. But he said, I didn't call you. Lie down again. So he went and lay down. Verse 6, the Lord called yet again, Samuel. So Samuel arose and went to Eli and said, here I am, for you called me. And he answered, I did not call, my son. Lie down again. Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord. That's a pretty important part here. When you don't recognize the voice of someone, it's often because you don't know them. If you know them, you recognize their voice. There are some of your voices that I could hear on a telephone and I wouldn't have to see you, you wouldn't have to tell me your name. I know that voice because I know you. Samuel did not yet know the Lord, nor had the word of the Lord been revealed to him. So the Lord called Samuel again a third time. And he arose and went to Eli and said, here I am, for you called me. Eli discerned at this point, when sometimes when you're a little sleepy, you're not real clear on your thinking. Here Eli discerned. He wakes up in a sense. And he discerned that the Lord was calling the boy. And Eli said to Samuel, go lie down, and it shall be that if he calls you, you shall say, speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. So he said, here's what I want you to do. Next time you hear that voice that sounds like mine to you, respond. Respond. Say, speak, Lord, your servant's listening. Here I am. Verse 10. Then the Lord came and stood and called as at the other times, Samuel, Samuel. And Samuel said, speak, for your servant is listening. And then verse 11, the Lord said to Samuel, and he gives him this message and this word. We'll stop there. You can read later. So here we see that Samuel didn't recognize the Lord's voice among other voices. To him, it sounded like Eli. And there's something to pay attention to right there in that moment. God's voice is not a Cecil B. DeMille's Ten Commandments, shake the earth voice most of the time. It may be occasionally, but maybe no one in here has maybe even heard that. Most often it's going to sound like someone else. It's going to sound like maybe someone that you know. It was in Samuel's case. To him, it sounded like Eli. And so Samuel then responded on Eli's prompting to say, when you hear that voice you don't maybe not fully recognize, I want you to respond and say this. Speak, Lord, your servant's listening. Now there's a beautiful key and insight into the heart of God in this story. Because it's not just about Samuel and Eli. I think this is about the Lord's kids. And you see an element of the nature of God in that he desires back and forth here. He desires for us to respond to him. Not listen. Andrew just said, you know, he's looking for clues on how to get his kids to listen. You know, sometimes you could be talking to your kids and they are not listening whatsoever. God because he is also a father, he is interested to see if you're interested in what he has to say. So there's this waiting. He doesn't give him a whole message and jam it down his throat. He waits for Samuel to respond. It's an insight into the heart of God. This is how he is. If we have no interest in hearing from God, guess what? We're not going to. He's not just gonna yap. But if we're interested, if he puts something out in our way, if he whispers something or calls our name or says something, we're gonna talk about some more ways that he communicates, and we respond to a father that's like, they're interested in what I have to say. They're interested in me. I wanna speak more. It's how God is. It's also how we are. You're that way. If you're in a room of people and you begin to talk and no one's listening, you just shut up. That's what I do. If no one has any interest in what I have to say, then I'm gonna stop talking. God really is this way. Something else that's interesting here. Samuel is sleeping in the temple next to the Ark of God, which represents the presence of God. Guess what's different about that day versus today and you and I? The Ark of God is now you. It was gold, a gold box that had Aaron's rod in the inside and the Ten Commandments and a jar, a golden jar of manna inside that box. And it represented the presence of God. Wherever that ark was, the presence of God was there. He was sleeping next to it. This is old covenant. This is before Jesus. This is just before the Holy Spirit came to reside on the inside. Now this is Samuel, basically, if it was today, and your name is Samuel, it's that you have become the place where God dwells. So the voice won't always be from the outside to the inside because the Holy Spirit has moved inside. So the voice is different than it was back then. Now it's the Holy Spirit living on the inside, connected to every part of who you are, and so he speaks in ways that aren't going to be an audible voice most of the time because he lives inside of you. So I've got to figure out, just as Samuel needed to figure out, the ways and the voice and the sound of God's voice. Now you and I need to figure out, now that we are the Ark of God, basically, we are the temple of God. You can put it in the wording. It says in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, 19, you're the temple of God. You're the place where he dwells. So his voice is going to sound different than an audible voice. How does he speak now? What does he sound like? What does it feel like? If he's inside, he's connected to every tissue of who you are. He can communicate with you in thousands of ways that are silent. And most of the time, God's voice isn't really a voice, like mine is right now. It's communication from the inside in whispers in a thousand different ways. We're going to talk about some of those. And it's actually super exciting. So let's go to another story. Let's go to Exodus chapter 3. Flip backwards a little bit. And we'll see some other insights in the ways that God speaks here in his nature. Chapter 3, verse 1 again. Now Moses, background there, you know about Moses. His whole story, his name means, you know, brought out of the water, drawn out of the water. Pharaoh basically was raised in Pharaoh's home. Then he killed the Egyptian. And then he flees for his life to Midian. Meets Jethro, becomes his father-in-law. Now he's watching Jethro's sheep. So he is, at this moment, around 79, 80 years old. Okay, he's not a young man at this moment. It says, now Moses was pasturing the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law. He's still watching someone else's sheep. Didn't he have his own sheep? He's 79, almost 80. Right? The priest of Midian, his father-in-law. And he led the flock to the west side of the wilderness and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. Verse 2, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a blazing fire, and put that first slide up, from the midst of a bush, and he looked, and behold, the bush was burning with fire, yet the bush was not consumed. So the story is this. Moses is watching sheep that aren't his. He's in the wilderness. There's no one around. He's going one way, the sheep are going one way, and off to his side, he sees a glowing, He's not exactly sure what it is, but it's a bush that's on fire, but it's not being consumed. And he says about this in verse 3. So Moses said, and again, if you're watching sheep in the wilderness for 40 years, there's no one around, you do talk to yourself. I have no doubt about that. That's what's going on right here. So Moses said, who's he talking to? I must turn aside now and see this marvelous sight. I must turn aside. In other words, he's going one way. God puts this bush over here somewhere, which also, I'm going to tell you, is one of the most wonderful things about God, is he doesn't always put things right in front of you. He will put things off to the side to see if you're interested. Do you really want him? Are you in discovery mode? Or are you good to just keep trucking the way you're going? Never turn aside. Never check out or have your curiosity piqued or anything like that. So he says here, I must turn aside now and see this marvelous sight. Why the bush is not burned up? Verse 4. When the Lord saw that he turned aside, he's waiting. This is the same as him calling Samuel, Samuel. When Samuel said, speak, Lord, your servant's listening, the Lord's like, okay. For here, God puts this bush off to the side and he's watching. What's Moses going to do? What's Moses going to do? What's Moses going to do? And when he turned aside, when the Lord saw that he turned aside to look, God called to him from the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, here I am. And he said, do not come near here. Remove your sandals from your feet, for the place on which you're standing is holy ground. And he said also, I'm the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. Then Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look at God. And then here comes this message. And basically, the primary calling for his life is revealed in this moment. Came from a burning bush off to the side that he could have easily passed right on by. But because he turned aside, he hears what God's plan is for 3 million people and their deliverance and salvation. Comes through him turning aside. I have recognized in my life that God really likes to do things like this. And you can't put them in a box. You just cannot. If you try, you're wrong. You're going to miss a bunch of good stuff. Because he will use the craziest things. Is a burning bush like out there? That's out there. I mean, who are you going to tell that story to? That doesn't make, as they say here, a lick of sense. To use a bush that is not being burned, glowing in the night. But that's what God chose. He's seeing, he's pushing the buttons of curiosity inside of Moses. And when Moses turns aside, God speaks. He'll do that with you. I'm telling you, he will. He will put things in, maybe off to the side of your path on a daily basis that's not exactly where you were headed. And it's an invitation. Because he's the God of the invitation. Everything he does is by invitation. And he's a father, and you're his children. He loves to play with his kids. He loves to be with his children. He loves to have adventures with his children. It's one of my favorite things on this planet is adventures with my kids. It is a blast, and God feels much more than I do in that for you and I. He wants to have adventures with you, and he wants to speak with you. Proverbs 25:2 speaks to this as well. It is the glory of God to conceal a matter, but it's the glory of kings to search it out. God enjoys concealing things and hiding things, not from us, but for us. He's not hiding things from us, he's hiding things for us to discover. That's how he is, it's his nature. It's Proverbs 25:2. Jeremiah 29:13, and you will seek me and you'll find me, when? When you search for me with all your heart. You're gonna seek me and you'll find me. He will allow himself to be found every time to the person who seeks him. That's why one thing I like to say to people who aren't followers of God, Seek him. Ask him a question. Ask Jesus if he's real. Just do that. Ask him that question, because in that question is God's engagement with you and with me. Again, this is not a rule-following life that we're to be living. This is a living, exciting adventure with him. I want to tell you several stories. They'll go into next week. And I'm telling you stories that are personal because they're mine. So I could tell you other people's stories. I may do a little of that. But these are some of my personal experience and journeys with. And I'll tell you also how a blockhead I've been at times. And how the Lord is so kind and patient with me. Just like he was with, you know, he kept speaking to Samuel. Even when he got it wrong 3 times in a row, he didn't stop. He spoke a 4th time. He just kept saying his name until he gets it. God's that way with us. He's so generous and so wonderful in putting these clues out. And you know what? If you've missed 10,000 clues up to this point, there's one today as well. And there's another one tomorrow, because it's who he is. Okay. Back in 1995 was the year I got married. My wife and I moved to North Carolina that year. She was in Ohio, I was in Virginia. We got married and moved to North Carolina, to the Charlotte area, and went to a Bible school. And this Bible school, part of the training, and this was new for me, was hearing God's voice. And what they called the prophetic, which was also pretty new to me. And one night in class, it was night class at that time, and there's about 25 students in this small, very small school. The leader, the teacher, did something. He had a chair, and he put the chair, he just set the chair in the front of the class. And then he said, we're going to do something that's unusual, and we're going to practice hearing God's voice. Now, that sounded weird to me right off the bat. Okay, I've never heard of anything like this at all. Sounded maybe just a tinge off the rails. Okay, and then he called this student, fellow student, up who was in the room and sat him in the chair. His name's Corey. He said, now, here's what's going on. Corey is praying about something. And I'm not going to tell you what he's praying about, but let's all ask the Lord if the Lord will give us the answer from God to tell Corey. Now, I also thought that was extremely odd. That why doesn't God just speak to Corey? He's the one who's praying. Why should we get involved in this? But anyway, I then thought, you know what? I am in a class. Perhaps there's something I can learn that I don't know. So there's always good to insert humility along our path and our journey, right? So I thought, okay. So he said, okay, everyone close their eyes. Let's pray. Let's ask the Lord for, see if he will show us what Corey's, an answer to Corey's prayer. Okay. I close my eyes. My wife is sitting next to me. She was in the school at the same time. She closes her eyes. Everybody closes their eyes. It's dead silent. Instantly, I do my normal daydream when I'm praying. Has anybody ever daydreamed while you've been praying? Who hasn't daydreamed while they've been praying? Everybody in here, you're daydreamers, you're praying, this is a holy moment, you're listening to God. And instantly, I'm daydreaming about a friend of mine who I knew probably 2 years earlier. Her name was Elizabeth. Then she went to, you know, to Mexico and then to Guatemala. And I don't know why I'm thinking about her. And then I'm embarrassed in one sense, like, oh, I'm supposed to be praying. You know, we need to be, seeking God. God speak. And then the leader says, okay, everyone, did anybody get anything? Man, I'm staring at the carpet. And there are people around the room raising their hand. And you know how it works when you stare at the carpet, what the instructor does. Calls on me. He said, Matt, what were you getting from the Lord? while you were praying? And I said, nothing. And then he said something completely different, which changed my life related to this and to hearing God. He changed the question. He said, okay, tell me this then. What were you thinking about while you were praying? He could have said, supposed to be praying. He said, what were you thinking about while we were praying? Now that's a completely different question. Because he just asked me first what I got. I got zilch. But now he changed the question. What were you thinking about while we were praying? And I said, oh my goodness. I said, I was thinking about this girl that I knew a couple years ago, and she ended up going to Guatemala to help, you know, to get a child, like adopt a child type of thing. And my wife said, oh my goodness, I was thinking about adoption. I thought, that is so weird. You were thinking about adoption. I'm thinking about this. And I look up there, and the guy who's sitting in this chair, his mouth is open. And the leader says, Corey, why don't you tell the class what you and your wife have been praying about? Adopting a child from Guatemala. That's his prayer request. I was 26 years old. Known God since I was 7. Followed him to the best of my ability for those nearly 20 years, and have no clue how God speaks. Not a clue. I didn't know that God will use your brain and your memories and your thoughts and, how about this, your daydreams. And when that awakened inside of me, it was like, oh my goodness, what have I missed all this time? And what, how about this? What have I beat myself up over in daydreaming when it was God trying to get my attention? But I thought it was something else, just like Samuel thought it was Eli. I thought it was just me, or I thought why can't I just focus? Why can't I focus? Now, that was incredibly encouraging to Corey. And I gotta say this, it was even more encouraging to me. And then it's like, okay, whoa. How about this? 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 16. But we have the mind of Christ. Now, that's just always just been a passage, a scripture. Maybe someone else does. It says, we have the mind of Christ. When you became born again, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17 says something happened to you. You became what? A brand new creature. Where your mind is different. What you listen, what you can hear is different. You are a different being, a different creature, like something that hasn't existed before. That's the context of that. And it's true. How about this one? Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2. This is in the Passion. Stop imitating the ideals and opinions of the culture around you, but be inwardly transformed by the Holy Spirit through a total reformation of how you think. This will empower you to discern God's will as you live a beautiful life, satisfying and perfect in His eyes. Come on. We have the Holy Spirit. He's communicating. He lives on the inside. And He's living there to do things other than just be there. He's living there to communicate with you. He's living there to communicate with me, to encourage others, that our lives would be a living sacrifice as we allow the Holy Spirit to transform the way that we think. The culture's not my guideline for how I think. The Holy Spirit is. The words of God are. And what might He be saying to me? My posture needs to be, what are you saying today, Lord? What if my posture was like Samuel's? Speak, Lord. I'm listening. What are you wanting to say today? That is a living, vibrant relationship. That's not a stuffy life. That's a beautiful life. Let me tell you a couple more stories and we'll be done for today here. I have this digital clock. It's got the time, it's got the day, it's got the date, the temperature even. And I've had it on for years. And several years ago, I started getting frustrated with this clock because I would come to the office some days and the time is completely wrong. And I look at the date and the date may be like back in time in a different year. Or I'll reset the whole thing and then change the batteries. And then I'll come in another month later and all of a sudden it's like ahead of time, 2026. And time's completely different. This happened probably 4 or 5 times. And I'm not the sharpest knife in the drawer sometimes. Finally, after this happened several times, I thought, I wonder, speak, Lord. Are you trying to say something to me? And then when you say that, just as when Samuel said that, the Lord responded. When I said that, this instant thought came to me. Look in your journals for that date of the ones past. I couldn't look it ahead, but I could look at the one behind. And I start opening, going through my journals. I keep it a journal. And all of a sudden, it was like the Lord was communicating something fresh to me from something in the past that he's already shown me. Or a prayer that's been fulfilled from that day. It was this additional layer of communication that I never would have thought of. Now, that may sound very weird to you, and you know what? It is. But again, why in the world would I ever try and limit the living God? Now, that's crazier. When I say, God, you can only speak this way. It's got to sound this way. It's got to be just like this. Listen, that's trying to be God, and I have no business with that. I want to listen to what he's saying. So I started to pay attention to that. Another day, I was getting ready. I used to wear contact lenses, hard contact lenses. How you take your contacts out, you just squeeze the side of your eye and it pops out in your hand. Wore them for 20 years. So every night I would just pop it out. Well, this one night I popped it out and it disappeared into thin air. Could not find it. It was over an hour looking for this. It was gone, which I hated because then I had to put my glasses on. So next morning I put my glasses on and it was... I sat in the car. As soon as I sat in the car, the right lens fell right out of the glasses fell right in my lap. Additional layer of frustration. Now I've got the little wire, because there's no screw in it over here. Got the wire through there, tightened it up with a little tape. So now, you know, one of those days. Then that evening I go to work. On the way home, my right headlight goes out. And it was only in that moment that I start paying attention. Again, when things happen, instead of just saying, well, a lot of words you shouldn't say, or just being frustrated, what if we saw life as a romance, an adventure, and God's trying to communicate with us? I'm not talking about over-spiritualizing everything. What I am talking about is paying attention to the ways that God is speaking. When the headlight went out, and then honestly, this is really weird, but the left one went out too the same night. I've never heard of two headlights going out in a car. I've never had that even come close. They both went out, and I said, Lord, what are you saying? And it was this instant message from heaven to me about I'd lost my faith. I was not living a life of faith. My right eye, right glasses, right headlight, right eye speaks of faith to me personally. It's a personal thing the Lord has shown me over the years that this right has to do with faith, how I see by faith. And all these things kept falling out. And the Lord was giving me a kind course correction. And in saying, Matt, you've lost your faith. I want you to get it back. It was, I tell you what, I felt the kindness and the love of God in the midst of the frustration once I realized what he was saying. But God will set these clues. And I'm telling you what, more than any, they really come through his word. When we're listening for him, when we read this, there are just these things that will jump off the page if you take a journey into it, if you turn aside and see it. If something comes to your mind and you go there, the Lord will show you these wonderful things. Now, the religious people will say you are, they'll get angry if you say you hear from God. A religious person, I've had it, they will get angry if you say you hear from God. And guess what the world will do if you say you hear from God? They'll say, you're nuts. You should be in a round room. It's real cushy. But the reality is this, you and I, followers of Jesus, transformed, brand new creatures, if we're not hearing from God, something's wrong. If we're not hearing from God, then I need an adjustment. If there are moments, and there have been in my life, where there, I've not heard from God in a while, it's like, I need to be probably repenting, getting realigned, or I need to get my faith back to believe that you're speaking to me, and I need to be paying attention. Because you are living, and I'm your child. Okay, let's be done for today. Can we stand for a moment with me? You ready to be done too? We're gonna dive into some really more fun next week on the ways that God speaks. So I've mentioned a couple that he speaks to me, but there are, again, unlimited ways that he communicates, but I wanna talk about several so that we will, if we're not paying attention in those areas, we'll be awakened, our ear will be awakened in those areas of how God's speaking to me personally. And so this adventure continues, but if you want mine, let's just pray, just ask God right now to renew our minds for this week, for right now. Lord, we just do that right now. We ask that you would awaken our ear to hear as your disciple. Lord, if our ear has been dull, if our sensitivity to your voice has been dull in any way, has been covered over with layers of wrong thinking, we just give you permission right now to blast right through that. And we are saying, we're responding as Samuel did and as Moses did. We're saying right now, speak, Lord. We're listening. Heart of mine, pay attention. We turn aside, Lord, and say, we desire you. We desire to have this relationship with you that's unlike anyone else on the planet. We desire to know you, Jesus, that our fellowship with you, Jesus, Father, would be enjoyable, would be sweet, would be an adventure, would be mind-blowing. As you communicate to us for other people, as you communicate to us for ourselves, may your voice be heard in our lives. We, again, Lord, we just say, speak, Lord. From the inside of us, speak, Lord. We're listening. Speak to us this week. Speak to us today. Speak to us tomorrow. We're looking for you in any way that you want to communicate. And we say again, thank you, Holy Spirit, for living on the inside, for not being far from us, but for being near, for being close. We love you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hey, it's going to get continued more and more fun all along the way. We have a couple things going on. We have prayer teams. If you'd like prayer for anything, we have teams right up front. They'll pray for you. If you'd like to receive prophetic ministry, which are people asking God, would you speak to me for them? You want to receive some of those words? We've got those teams out in the family room. David.
Give it up for Matt. That's awesome. So I've heard so many different people teach on hearing the voice of God. Honestly, there's no one out there that I feel like does a better job than Matt. And come these next 2 weeks, invite someone along that you know would benefit from this. There's going to be, this is sermon one of a three-part series. But what I want to announce is when you leave today, there are going to be tables to your right. How many of you guys know Doris, this precious lady that has been a powerhouse warrior in the spirit? She passed away earlier this year. It's Eleanor's mom. And Eleanor's her daughter. So she had passed away earlier this year. She had this wonderful ministry of collecting amazing sermons like today, and she would put it on a CD, and she would pray, Lord, who should this go to? And she would send it out to people. Well, she has this collection of CDs and DVDs, tons of stuff from Bill Johnson, amazing people from all over the world, and they are donating her collection for us today. So you can take as much as you'd like. Basically, just go around to the corner, and we've got stuff sectioned off by speaker, so we've tried to divide it out. But take those, listen to them in your car, send them to people that you think could benefit. They'll be a great blessing to you. Love you guys. Have a great day.